This is VOA News. I'm Richard Green. Pope Francis has arrived in Mongolia on a visit to encourage one of the world's smallest and newest Catholic communities. Francis arrived in the Mongolian capital Ulaanbaatar on Friday morning after an overnight flight passing through Chinese airspace. It is the first time a leader of the Roman Catholic Church has visited the landlocked Asian country. The pontiff will hold meetings with Mongolia's president and prime minister and will then meet with the clergy and nuns who form the backbone of Mongolia's tiny Catholic community of 1,450 members. Ecuador's Interior Minister Juan Zapata says prisoners at a penitentiary in the city of Cuenca are holding 50 guards and 7 police officers hostage. The mass hostage taking comes a day after hundreds of soldiers and police officers carried out an operation to search for weapons, ammunition, and explosives in one of the country's main penitentiaries. Singaporeans head to the polls Friday in the city state's first contested presidential election in more than a decade. Singapore's presidency is a nonpartisan and largely ceremonial post under the Constitution, but formally oversees the city's financial reserves. The president also holds the power to veto certain measures, as well as approve anti-corruption probes. The vote is being closely watched as an indication of support for the ruling party after a rare series of political scandals. Singapore has been ruled continuously since 1959 by the People's Action Party. U.S. President Joe Biden addressed employees at the Federal Emergency Management Agency Thursday after declaring the southeastern state of Florida an official emergency disaster area.
Every American expects FEMA will show up, and when they're in the middle of a disaster, and I'm calling on Congress to make sure you're able and have the funds to be able to continue to show up and meet the needs of the American people to deal with immediate crises that we're facing right now.
This is VOA News. Tropical Storm Idalia is heading back out to sea after leaving a trail of flooding and devastation throughout the southeast. Idalia was a major hurricane when it roared ashore Wednesday in a remote area of Florida, shredding homes and submerging streets. Elections are taking place in part of Ukraine controlled by Russian-installed authorities. Reuters correspondent Matthew Laritana says they are trying to cement Moscow's authority in what it calls its new territories.
Russia doesn't fully control any of the four regions where the votes are being held, Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. They each have governors handpicked by Moscow, all members of President Vladimir Putin's political coalition called United Russia. All of them are now running for full terms in office. Ukrainian officials say the elections are illegal. They say it shows why it's impossible to hold any peace talks with Moscow until Russia withdraws all its troops from Ukrainian territory.
That was Reuters correspondent Matthew Laritanda. State broadcaster Gabon 24 said Thursday that numerous suitcases and duffel bags of cash have been confiscated from the homes of various Gabonese officials as military officers who overthrew President Ali Bongo continue a drive to incriminate members of his government whom they've accused of being corrupt. Military leaders arrested several of Bongo's cabinet members early on Wednesday on accusations ranging from embezzlement to narcotics trafficking. Among them were Bongo's son and former cabinet director, both of whom were present in footage of a raid broadcast by Gabon 24 on Thursday. A deadly record drought in the Horn of Africa has killed vast numbers of cows, goats, and sheep, imperiling the livelihoods of the people there who rely on livestock for food and income. Now a U.S. charity called Water is Life Kenya is helping herders by giving them new animals and cash. Juma Majanga reports from Kenya.
The Maasai, like other pastoral communities, depend on livestock as their main source of food and livelihood. They are still reeling from the Horn of Africa's worst drought in 4 decades and its toll on their animals.
It was a 3-year drought, swept a lot of livestock.
A U.S. and Kenyan-based charity is helping vulnerable families in the pastoral communities affected by drought by giving them new cows, goats, and sheep, as well as cash, so they can rebuild their lives. The grant program, now in its 2nd year, also provides herders with skills so that they can better cope with the frequent droughts brought on by climate change. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Engong Narok Village.
I'm Richard Green for VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Friday, September 1st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Gabon's main opposition wants the country's new military leaders to return the country to democratic rule.
We want to respect all the agreements that we made with this international institution. And one of these is to tell everybody that we don't agree with the Bush, even though he came with a release on taking President Bongo out.
Nigeria's President Tinubu says ECOWAS's military intervention in Niger is the last resort. Meanwhile, relations between France and Niger widen. A Malawi court suspends an arrest warrant for a political activist. Sierra Leone says U.S. visa restrictions for some Sierra Leoneans are unfair.
It's unfortunate that the United States government has taken the decision to impose visa or travel restrictions. However, we recognize that it is the prerogative of the United States government to take such measures or take such decisions.
And the East African Business Council calls for liberalization of continental trade. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Gabon's main opposition, the Alternate 2023 Coalition, says it wants the country's new military leaders to finalize the counting of the votes from the August 26 election and proclaim its candidate Albert Ondo Ossa the clear winner. This as the African Union on Thursday suspended Gabon for the military coup that toppled President Ali Bongo Ondimba. Alessandra Panga is the spokesperson for Ondo Ossa. She tells me that while the military took out President Bongo at the right time, the opposition believes in democracy and wants the military to return Gabon to democratic rule.
What the president Ondo Ossa wants to see is that the military section brings back the republican order, because we are a democracy and Democrats don't recognize putschists. Therefore, we're asking the military to bring back the republican order so that the republic can function as it's supposed to be doing.
So when you say bring back the republican order, you want the military to return to the barracks?
Exactly.
But who will lead the country in the presence?
What we want is, like we said, we want the Republican order to come back, meaning for that to happen, we want the military to go back to the counting of the voices of the election and bring back the Gabonese Center of Election to proclaim the true winner of the nation, then allow all the institutions to proclaim that winner president of the republic.
But President Ali Bongo's team said he won the election.
Yes, he's been proclaimed by the CGE as the president of the nation. But in Gabon, we have 2 weeks to go to the constitutional court and to put a claim against that proclamation. So normally we still are in the institutional order. And then what the military can do is to let us go to the end of the process. And in 2 weeks, we can actually proclaim the true president according to the true result of the votes.
Alessandra, what does the opposition make of the international condemnation of the coup, including the African Union? It seems to mean that the opposition supports the coup in the meantime.
Like I said earlier, we are Democrats and we understand fully the reaction of those organizations because we signed agreements and it's normal for them to apply the agreement that we signed on. That's why the President Ondo Ossa cannot go over what has been signed by Gabon. We want to respect all the agreements that we made with the international institution, and one of these is to tell everybody that we don't agree with the Bush, even though he came with a release on taking the President Bongo out because of the lie they wanted to proclaim again. But on the Republican side, we need to respect the constitution of our nation. Therefore, we agree with the way things are happening outside. It's a normal reaction of the organization.
Alessandra, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much, James, for your time.
Alessandra Pagan is the spokesperson for Gabon's joint opposition candidate, Albert Ondo Ossa. She was speaking with us from the Gabonese capital, Libreville.
Nigeria's Information Minister Mohammed Idris Malagi says President Bola Tinubu and the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, believe military intervention in Niger remains a last resort. This as there was speculation on Thursday that ECOWAS had proposed a nine-month timetable for a transition to democracy and elections in Niger. Information Minister Mohammed Idris says President Tinubu, who is also president of ECOWAS, remains resolute that the forceful removal of a democratic government is not acceptable.
They said they needed up to 3 years to restore constitutional order in that country. And the president is saying, no, that is not acceptable. And so when the Council of Ulamas, that's the religious leaders that went from Nigeria to Niger for the second time, came to report back to him about the conversations they had, he said that they came with the proposal that the military people may need more time, perhaps up to 3 years. And he said there is no way ECOWAS will be patient with that. In the first instance, nobody asked them to take over government forcefully. Now that they have done it, any attempt from Nigeria, from ECOWAS, to easily go there and begin to explore kinetic option may lead to serious loss of lives and property, and he doesn't want that. But at the same time, he is saying nothing is off the table, but he is prepared to dialogue further with them. He prefers, in fact, to resolve this matter peacefully and through dialogue and engagement rather than going to war with Niger. That's what the president is saying.
Because everyone is thinking, is ECOWAS backtracking what it said earlier about a military intervention?
ECOWAS is not backtracking. What ECOWAS is doing, it has always said that, every option is on the table, but ECOWAS has always said it prefers to have a peaceful resolution to the whole issue. And I think the military junta, they also understand that. Initially, there was not even serious discussion with them. Later, they have been talking to all kinds of people. They've spoken to the General Abdusalami Abubakar team that went there that included His Eminence, the Sultan of Sokoto. And then about two times now, the Council of Ulama, some religious leaders that have some influence over a large section of the population in Niger, went there. And they said they may need up to 3 years, which President Tinubu has turned down. He's not ready to give up to 3 years. ECOWAS is not ready to give up to 3 years. But at the same time, he's not saying, he has not given a timetable for the deployment of the military into that country. As a matter of fact, they wanted the ease of sanction, including the restoration of electricity between Nigeria and Niger. But he's saying, look, they need to show good faith that they want to restore constitutional order before that can be done.
Thank you so much, Minister.
Thank you, James Bati. Thank you.
Mohammed Idris Malagi is Nigeria's Minister of Information. He was speaking with me from Abuja. Relations between Niger's military junta widened further on Thursday, with the junta ordering the national police to expel the French ambassador in Niamey. As VOA's French to Africa reporter Abdul Razak tells us from Niamey, France says the military has no authority to take such action.
In a letter addressed to the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Nigerian military junta first indicated that after the expiry of the 48 hours period given to the French ambassador to leave Nigerian territory, the question of his approval is irrevocable and that any comments on this matter are moot. The junta adds that the ambassador no longer enjoys the privileges and the immunities attached to his status as a member of the diplomatic staff. Also, the diplomatic cards and the visa of the interest party and the members of his family are cancelled. Instruction was finally given to the police services to proceed to his expulsion. Since the publication of this letter, units of the police and the National Gendarmerie have been deployed to the front of the French embassy in Niamey for a thorough search of any vehicle that exists there. From Paris, the spokesman for the French General Staff warned that the French military forces are ready to respond to any renewed tension that would undermine French military and diplomatic rights in Niger, and that measures have been taken to protect these rights off way.
VOA's French to Africa reporter Abdul Razak was speaking with us from Niger's capital, Niamey. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, September 1st. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. A spokesperson for Sierra Leone President Julius Maada Bio says the decision by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to impose visa restrictions on some people in Sierra Leone is not fair. Secretary Blinken says the restrictions will affect those who the U.S. believes were responsible for manipulating or rigging Sierra Leone's electoral process, or those who intimidated voters and election observers. Spokesperson Solomon Jamiru says that Sierra Leone has taken steps to deepen democracy and that the President Maada Bio did indeed win the June 24 elections.
First of all, in the estimation of government, this appears to be an unfair characterization, because as a government, we believe that we have taken key and critical steps to deepen governance to ensure that sufficient safeguards are provided for civil and political liberties, and essentially to ensure that government continues to deliver key and critical services for our people. As a matter of fact, we have just gone through multi-tier elections on June 24, and in the estimation of government, such election has been acclaimed to be the most peaceful post-conflict history. And of course, those polls were free, fair, and transparent. So it's unfortunate that the United States government has taken the decision to impose visa or travel restrictions. We don't yet know what the scope of this would be. We don't yet know who those individuals are that will be victims of this. But as a government, we believe that this is quite an unfortunate decision. However, we recognize that it is the prerogative of the United States government to take such measures or take such decisions as they deem fit and necessary under given circumstances. So for us, as a government, we believe that we'll have to engage diplomatically and by other means. As a matter of fact, His Excellency the President will be in New York for the United Nations General Assembly, and hopefully we should be able to utilize that corridor as well to engage not just with the United States Secretary of State, but other senior government officials as well.
As you said, Sierra Leone just had peaceful, free and fair elections, but everything that is available, people in the international community question the process. That's why I think the United States is saying that it's going to hold responsible those who manipulate or rig the electoral process.
Looking at the notice, that's what the general scheme of things would appear to be. Indeed, they have suggested that maybe there are people who may have chosen to subvert the process. Maybe there are people who may have engaged in fraudulent electoral practices. Maybe there are people who sought to undermine peace and democracy in Sierra Leone. So as I said, we don't yet know specifics. We wish maybe we would have gotten some areas of clarification so that we are in a position to have a proper estimation. But this is just a general characterization. It's a general statement. But hopefully when both sides sit to engage, some of those things will be clearer. But let me just say this, James. As far as the legitimacy of President Julius Maada Bio is concerned, there is no contestation. He ran for the presidency. He defeated the main challenger. He got 56% of the total valid vote cast. He was declared president as per Section 42, subsection 3 of the Constitution. And Section 54 of the Public Elections Act has given an opportunity to any citizen to raise questions about validity or challenge, essentially, the outcome of the elections. James, no such petition was ever filed. So as far as we are concerned, His Excellency the President was duly elected.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jamiru. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
The honor is mine, James. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Solomon Jamiru is spokesperson for Sierra Leone President Julius Maada Bio. He was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. Malawi police have released a political activist arrested on Wednesday, a few hours before he was to lead anti-government demonstrations. Bon Kalindo has been freed after a magistrate's court in the capital Lilongwe suspended the arrest warrant that it gave to the police, saying it was wrongly obtained. But rights campaigners say the arrest of Kalindo was an attempt to foil planned anti-government demonstrations. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The police say they arrested Bon Kalindo for violating bail conditions in a court case involving the Malawi Electricity Corporation on an illegal connection of electricity to his houses. Peter Kalaya is a spokesperson for the Malawi Police Service.
And among the conditions of the bail were that he should be reporting to our regional police headquarters every fortnight, but he has not been doing that for some time now. So the same court issued a warrant of arrest to us on Monday, so we went ahead today and they arrested him.
Kalindo was at the office of the district commissioner a few hours before he held demonstrations against the rising cost of living Malawians are facing. Redson Munlo is the secretary general for a group known as Malawi First, which organized the anti-government demonstrations. He says he believes the arrest of Kalindo was a political ploy to stop the protests.
With an intention that in the absence of Kalindo, demonstrations are not going to take place. I read the demonstrations. Unfortunately, we didn't complete because the thugs started throwing us. And the police sided with the thugs, throwing tear gases to people who are legally mandated to demonstrate on that day.
However, police spokesperson Kalaya denies any intention to disrupt the protests, saying the police accompanied them to ensure the demonstrations were conducted in a peaceful manner. Stan Chirwa is a lawyer for Kalindo. He told VOA Thursday that Kalindo has been released after the court faulted the manner in which the warrant of arrest was obtained.
It was found that when obtaining the said warrant, the prosecutors used wrong information. They were claiming that Mr. Kalindo was not adhering to the bail conditions when in fact he was. So the court has called for an inter partes hearing on the 8th of September to clarify on the same on both sides.
The demonstrations came a few days after the opposition Democratic Progressive Party criticized the government at a press conference over a looming economic crisis, resulting in fuel shortages, scarcity of foreign exchange, and increased grain prices. However, authorities say economic challenges facing Malawi are largely because of trends that have destabilized global economies and that the government is doing what it takes to address the challenges. I am Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
The East African Business Council is calling for the elimination of barriers to trade across Africa in order to facilitate intracontinental commerce. The call was made during the official opening of a two-day East African Business and Investment Summit that took place on Thursday in Muyongyo, Uganda. Moses Javier Rimana reports.
The free movement of goods and persons within the East African community remains a major challenge despite member states having signed the Common Market Protocol more than 10 years ago. Now, the community is calling on the continent to liberalize trade. Ezekiel Nibigira is the Burundi Minister of East African Community Affairs, Youth, Sports and Culture and the current chairman of the East African Community Council of Ministers.
Every African nation should make every effort to reduce at the maximum non-tariff barriers at borders and within nations and regions to create a conducive environment for business people to trade across borders.
All members of the East African community have already ratified the African Continental Free Trade Area, an agreement that 43 African countries have ratified, which aims to eliminate tariffs on most goods and services in Africa. Sanjay Rugani is the CEO of the Standard Chartered Bank in Uganda.
Everybody who is involved in trade and investment needs to change the definition of the border. Why is the border Kenya? And why is the border Tanzania? And why is the border Uganda? For everybody in the job who is trying to facilitate trade and investment within our region, the standard border for them should be East Africa. Then they stop the bureaucracy. Why are we talking about European business models and Asian business models? Because they embrace that as the border.
Despite the challenges of the non-tariff barriers in the region, the East African Community recorded an increase of 15% intra-regional trade in 2023 compared to 2022. Ezekiel Nibigira says that the African Continental Free Trade Area is what member states should look up to.
The African Continental Free Trade Area requires that each country has gained capabilities to get what to offer in this market. It has to be a fair market whereby every partner state has products and services not only to offer but also to take.
With more than 40 African countries ratifying the African Continental Free Trade Area, when implemented, the continent will create a single market of more than 1.4 billion people. Moses Havyarimana for Voice of America.
It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with athletics. Defending champions Evans Chebet of Kenya will challenge fellow compatriot and two-time winner Geoffrey Kamawuro when the New York City Marathon returns on the 5th of November. Kenya's Chebet won the New York City Marathon last year in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 41 seconds. 7 months after winning the Boston Marathon, he became the 8th man in history to win both races in the same year and the first since 2011. Chebet already retained his Boston title earlier this year and has finished first or second in 13 marathons. Edward Chizerek will make his marathon debut at the World Athletics Elite Platinum Labour Road Race, while Litsambed Gide will race at the event for the first time. And now to Rwanda, where Rwanda's cycling governing body, FEWASA President Abdullah Muenzi, has resigned. Muenzi is under investigation but not detained on suspicion of being an accomplice on charges of making decisions based on favoritism, friendship, acquaintances or nepotism, as well as forgery, falsification and use of forged documents, to which Federation Secretary General Benoit Moyankindi is suspected to have engaged in before he was apprehended and detained for further investigation. In basketball news, Egypt secured their second straight win at the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup. The Egyptians fended off the comeback efforts of Jordan for an 85-69 victory on Thursday at the Mall of Asia Arena in Pasi City. That win sends Egypt to a 2-2 and keeps them in the hunt for automatic qualification for the best African team in the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023. Jordan are still winless in Manila. Another African side, South Sudan, kept their hopes alive in the race for the 2024 Olympics and the Olympic qualifying tournaments with an 87-68 win over Philippines in the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023 classification 17-32 thanks to Kalik Jones, nearly registering first triple-double in World Cup history. Basketball youngest nation showed their poise after losing to Serbia in the first round and became the first African team in the tournament with 2 victories. In cricket news, Uganda Cricket Cranes have retained the East African Trophy T20 Cup. The defending champions only dropped 1 game against Tanzania, picking up a possible 11 wins from the 12 games played. Uganda came into their final game with 20 points. That's 12 more than Tanzania, who are second. It was practically impossible for any team to dislodge the champions from the top. All the 3 sides, Rwanda, Tanzania and Uganda, are preparing for the T20 World Cup qualifiers in November this year. The series was a perfect tournament to test their squads. In women football news, reigning Ghanaian football club champions Amapem Dakwa Ladies have triumphed in the WAFU Zone B qualifiers, securing both the regional title and a coveted spot in the Women's Champions League. And that's it for this Friday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a nice weekend. And that's it for this Friday, September 1st edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube. where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Botti in Washington, wishing that you will have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday morning.